Welcome to the Not Old Better Show. I'm your host, Paul Vogelzang. You've seen that flashy opening sequence of House of Cards season after season, and we all know that theme music here, generously supplied by musician Jesse Ahman, an excellent cellist, and online at jesseahman.net. But for those of us who binge on the Netflix program, I'm one of those, and obsess over each episode in detail, we can talk and learn about the House of Cards during the upcoming Smithsonian Associates program, March 15th, 2017, at the Ripley Center, downtown Washington, D.C. Presenter Steph Woods of the American University, what might lie ahead for Frank and Claire Underwood. Steph Woods analyzes the complex relationship between the often unlikable power couple. Claire, of course, has pronounced that she's done trying to win over people's hearts, and we can work with fear. And Steph Woods will look at this with an eye to whether their love for each other is stronger than their love for power, and if viewers are rooting for their success or their downfall. Steph Woods will be asking the question, are the cards collapsing? A House of Cards Season 5 preview. Join me in welcoming to the Not Old Better Show, Steph Woods. Well, Steph, you're a fan, first and foremost, I'm sure, of the House of Cards. Now, let me ask you, how much of a fan are you on a scale, say, of 1 to 10, 1 being Frank and Claire light, and 10 being unapologetic, analytic, and overtaken? Where do you stand?
Personally, I would put myself in the middle, but what I'm a fan of is popular culture. And using popular culture for these larger learning opportunities like the upcoming program at the Smithsonian. So I've always been a fan of TV, a fan of entertainment. I've had an interest, and now I teach social media and marketing, and I like looking how all these things work together. So for that, I would put myself in the middle. I'm intrigued. I will follow the series through, but I am also not the person who is watching the entire series on Netflix the first weekend it comes out.
Yeah. Well, I have to admit, I'm a binge. My wife and I are binge watchers of this program. We do really enjoy it. I don't know that we are the unapologetic analytic, but maybe we're a little overtaken with it because we binge on it a little bit. But in all seriousness, and you mentioned this too, you will be at the Smithsonian Associates program March 15th. That's at the Ripley Center, downtown D.C. And you can check the Smithsonian Associates website. We'll put a link up to the direct area where you can purchase tickets and find out more. But tell us a little bit about the program. What are some of the questions you'll be answering there?
We'll be looking at everything from, is the series as popular? Has it been marketed the same? The first trailer was released during inauguration day. So that means something, how real-world politics and fictionalized politics via entertainment are intersecting and playing off of each other in that regard. We'll be looking at Claire's role. What are our expectations of a first lady? Is the first lady role a trope in and of itself? Do we expect first ladies and potentially in the future first partners or first gentlemen to have additional roles? Or are they solely the hosts and hostesses for the White House? So we'll be looking at Claire's ascent and the relationship. They're stronger together. And yet when we think, is this the season that the House of Cards will fully collapse and fall down? Is the couple, are they as a couple as strong together or stronger apart? And will they last as a unit if the House of Cards falls around them?
Steph Woods, I want to make sure and point out to my audience that this is a very serious subject to you. You teach a class as a full-time law professor at AU here in D.C., and you're teaching on the subject of, found one class was titled Impact of Political TV Shows on Voters. Another is Politics, TV, and Ethics. So what have you found in some of your research about this subject in terms of the voters and the ethics and where House of Cards kind of falls?
I do enjoy this and how it intersects with my background. I was practicing as an attorney in legal services, and I received my law degree at American, but now I actually teach undergrad. So I try to infuse some of my legal background into my department in American studies. And it's fascinating to me at a time of such low voter turnout. We as a country haven't been above 60% voter turnout since LBJ's election. So for this election, 51% of eligible voters voted. And yet, even with the show's popularity waning a bit in its fifth season, that people will be talking about House of Cards when it's released on May 30th. People will want to know what happened. Is this the last season or not? How is it reflecting real life now, or isn't it reflecting real life? Since I think what appeared to be just something that was fictionalized is now mirrored more in what's going on in the real world. And for instance, this week in class on politics, TV, and ethics, we looked at a journal article on the politics of lying and the role of virtue or lack thereof in politics. And we also read excerpts from Machiavelli's The Prince, and we were making parallels to Frank Underwood, but also making parallels to real politics. Is it possible to have a successful campaign or to be viewed as a strong leader without some element of lying or a lack of virtue? And what does that mean in how it is adapted in the real world? So I think there's a lot of learning opportunities both in class and at the Smithsonian.
Well, let's talk about the series for just a second. Your Smithsonian Associates program title asks the question, are the cards crumbling? And I noticed, and you mentioned the trailer that was released, that there is this almost this nod to, and social media has made, you know, hay with this about, we make the terror, you know, Frank Underwood's line from the last season finale. What do you make of all of that, including, you know, this idea that, well, maybe the cards are crumbling, but maybe the power couple in chiefs, maybe their relationship is crumbling. Is that all tied into this kind of program that you're going to be presenting at Smithsonian?
We will look at both their relationship and then their politics and their political relationship as well as their personal. So thinking of where things went from season three to season four and this idea that they are stronger together. And Frank Underwood says that in season four, that he is not the president without her. He is not in the White House without her. So their role together and seeing what happens when the House of Cards will eventually collapse, whether it is this season or next season, we don't know. If they'll hold it out another year. It was also interesting choice that filming was delayed a few months. So previously, the series has been released on Netflix in February and March. This year, they're doing it May 30th. And the reasons hadn't been announced for that. So we'll see what happens and if they're trying to separate themselves a bit from real-world politics and take things in a different direction by this power couple now trying to be the political power couple. And I think we'll also look at the role of D.C. D.C. is not just a setting in House of Cards, it's a character. And when the House of Cards collapses, these old buildings, the monuments that are homaged in the trailer or in the intro to House of Cards, those buildings will still be standing long after the characters are not. And that's true in real life Washington, too, that the players may come and go, but the monuments, the city, the character of D.C. still stays.
Yeah, the opening to House of Cards is such a memorable opening, the music. But I agree with you, the scenes of D.C., for those of us who kind of live and, you know, breathe D.C., those squat buildings, that architectural style of, you know, very almost permanence, gives you the sense that things may change down on Pennsylvania Avenue, but there's a lot that doesn't change, and that's an important point in the programming.
And that intro actually took months to film, and the goal was to capture the grit of D.C. And that worked really well with David Fincher's vision, the director for the first several episodes of season one, and that set the tone for how the series was shot and directed throughout. And there's also scandals behind each of the monuments and the places that were chosen, so it wasn't done precipitously.
The other thing that strikes me about kind of last season was this moment, and that there, some of the bloggers are, debating this particular element, but that is whether Claire Underwood finally broke the fourth wall, and so I wonder where you stand on that question.
Interesting. I think that she has, and I think it will be interesting to see who we're rooting for. Are we rooting for their ascent, or are we just observing their fall? And if it's fall, is it individually or is it as a couple? There's also thought that because the inspiration for House of Cards came from the BBC series, which came from a Michael Dobbs book. Mm-hmm. And Michael Dobbs was the chief of staff for Margaret Thatcher's first day and John Major's last day. So the thought is that this could actually all be with Stamper as the lens. Stamper as, ironically, the most relatable character of the series. So things to think about, and we'll explore all the different angles. I love looking at things critically and analytically, and also talking about the marketing and did we feel more inclined or less inclined to watch season four soon after it was released when we learned it wasn't the last season, that it had introduced before the season aired that Bo Willimon was departing as showrunner. And then Netflix announced that there was another year contract, so that everyone who was contemplating viewing it, what's sort of the marketing behind that and what's consumer behavior? And does Netflix care? Because their content is on there and we can watch anytime and it works for their benefit whether we watch a show immediately after it's released or 5 years later.
So many shows today involve the social media community in their marketing and their outreach. And this show is certainly representative of that, you know, kind of strategy. And so whether it's Bo Willimon or the demise of Frank Underwood, and you mentioned the series, the BBC series, where in that trilogy the main character, the kind of the Frank Underwood, is killed off, but by his wife on her orders. So it's going to be interesting to see, because already the bloggers have run amok with this idea that, well, maybe Frank is going to die, and who's the killer? Maybe it's going to be Claire. Maybe her breaking the fourth wall suggested some of that. Maybe Doug Stamper is going to defy Frank and be the killer. There's so many great rumors out there. And really, I think the marketing effort by the production company, I think Hollywood does a good job in, kind of creating their own rumor mill around some of this stuff. And so I wonder, do you have a favorite House of Cards blogger? Do you subscribe to many of these theories that are coming out of some of these social media communities?
I follow the Twitter accounts and leave it at that. And I think what's great is that there's information out there online if we want to think of different theories. And then we can also all think of our own, that where do we hope the show goes or it doesn't go? And will the characters be as menacing in season five at a time when there is a lot going on in real world politics that is incredibly polarizing and could be viewed by many as menacing? So bringing the terror might have different meaning now than it did a couple years ago when the show first premiered. And who we're rooting for could also have changed over those 5 years. So it will be interesting to see. My thought is that this will be the last season, but I'm just saying that purely based on speculation. I think they could probably have one more year after this, but much beyond that, both for the actors, knowing how talented they are and the desire to have other projects, the fact that Bo Milliman already stepped aside, and the fact that a 5 or 6 year run would be a long run when you think the BBC version was a 12 episode, 3 season miniseries. So it was done in a much different format so that they may or may not stick with that ending for Frank, Francis's character, or they might go a different direction because the US version has tried to have its own mark and it also has had to be adapted for US politics rather than British politics.
Well, there just are so many questions. I'm excited about your program. Just speaking with you again, Steph Woods, a professor at American University, will be the featured program Wednesday, March 15th, 2017, 6:45 at the Ripley Center in Washington, downtown D.C. Steph, really, it has been a pleasure talking to you. Betrayal, murder, lust, crime, politics, you do it all.
Not personally, as an educator.
Yeah, of course. Of course. Well, I just, I think this is a must-see program of yours, the upcoming Wednesday, March 15th. For all of my audience, come prepared with your fan knowledge, your questions, theories. I think Steph is going to be a great person to talk to about all of that. I think you probably anticipate a pretty spirited conversation, right?
I love having more discussion-based programs, so definitely come with questions and come with your ideas. I think that way we can learn from each other, not just me educating those in the audience. There's room for a lot of both ways and a true two-way conversation.
Well, I think this is just a wonderful lead to the program. Again, at Smithsonian Associates Ripley Center, Wednesday, March 15th. We'll put links up on the Not All Better site directly to where you can find out more information about the tickets and directions specifically to the Ripley Center. It's really easy to find right off of the mall at the Smithsonian Station. But Steph Woods, thank you so much for being so gracious, and your expertise is just impressive. We are really in for a treat with your program.
My pleasure. Wonderful talking to you, Paul.
Thanks so much, Steph.